these couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kaw.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies. And this week, Kevin, we're going to talk about some kind of Saw.
We're going to talk about mainstream movies.
Yes.
We're going to talk about award flicks.
Or award wannabe flicks.
Well, yeah, I mean...
We're going to talk about the movie with the longest title in the history of the world, The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, played by Casey Affleck, directed by some guy, and I don't know. You're gonna make up a title,
I've
right?
got a new title
okay.
for this movie.
Yeah, Kevin has a new title. He's going to rename the movie. We're also, as I said, going to talk about Saw 4. We are going to experience a little bit of Dan in real life, which is going to, I'm sure, prompt some conversation around Dane Cook's acting abilities. We've ever talked about that before.
Bane.
And finally, we're going to talk about Wes Anderson's new flick, The Darjeeling Limited, which is in limited release.
That's right.
I guess that's why they named it appropriately.
Yeah. Well, that is a good, yeah. And they're going to change the name to The Darjeeling Wide.
Yep.
The Double Wide.
The Double Wide. For your crowd.
Yeah, for the indie trailer parks.
Yes.
But before we do that, how do you get a hold of us?
You can get a hold of us by emailing us. FatGuysAtFilmSchoolRejects.com. You can also head on over to the website, which is www.FatGuysTheMovies.com.
With a beautiful image.
Huge, awesome new banner. I don't know if you've seen that and recovered. Hopefully, you're still going to come back to the website after seeing the banner. And just to note, I am not either flicking anyone off in the banner, in my photo, and I'm also not giving half of a Live Long and Prosper hand gesture from Star Trek. That is actually me just contemplating why I'm on this show with you.
And I am not doing any... I'm doing exactly what it looks like I'm doing.
That is actually how Kevin shows up to do the show every week here at the Magical Studio.
So check us out. You'll love it.
You can also get us on iTunes. Head on over to iTunes, the store at iTunes, and search Fat Guys the Movies. And if you'd like to give us a call, which, you know what? We haven't had that many phone calls lately, so... I guarantee you, if you call us and we can understand what you're saying, we're going to put you on. But first, you have to call 614-388-8735, and then we'll put you on. But let's talk about some movies,
yeah.
I guess.
Let's start with the award season, some of the award hopefuls.
Yes. And
one of the biggest ones that's causing a lot of buzz, I'm getting
a
new
long
name. Yeah. The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford in the movie that had to be watched by the very bored Kevin Carr, who wished he was somewhere else.
Officially,
yeah,
retitled.
And what's great about that is not only is it the title, it's also my review.
Yes. And in this flick, Brad Pitt plays Jesse James.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Affleck plays the coward Robert Ford.
Yes.
And an assassination occurs, yes. Or attempts to be, I don't know.
Let's hear
the clip.
His children didn't know how their father made his living. Or why they so often moved. They didn't even know their father's name. He regretted neither his robberies nor the 17 murders that he laid claim to. And on September 5th, 1881, Jesse James was 34 years old.
You know, I could have just listened to that clip and you get everything that the movie's about.
Really?
This was the longest movie. It wasn't by running time the longest movie in the world, but it felt like the longest movie in the world. And as I left, I said to another critic friend of mine, I said, there is no movie that's come out this year that I would want to sit through a second time less.
I agree. I disliked it so much that I skipped it.
Yeah. And you, I'm never getting this 2 hours and 40 minutes back. The cinematography looks really good. I mean, it has some really neat stuff in there, and the acting's okay, but wow, it's just dull and plotting and boring. That clip is very representative of how the movie feels.
Okay.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know what happens. You know he gets assassinated, because that's the title of the movie. And you know who did it, because that's also the title of the movie, but you know what? After he gets assassinated, there's like 40 more minutes of movie.
It's kind of like going into Titanic and saying, man, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah, but Titanic is a good movie. It was fun.
Are you serious?
Exciting. Yeah, I like Titanic.
Oh, my God. Other than the $600 billion they spent on the CG, that was a terrible movie.
It was a decent movie. I like Titanic.
Yeah. If I have to hear Rose and Jack screaming Rose and Jack anymore, it's like 500 times. I knew a girl in high school who counted it.
Really?
They say it like 500 times.
I was waiting to see it in line with my wife and back when it was released. And it was just nothing but dates. It was just nothing but men with their wives or girlfriends waiting in line, and in the middle of it,
I guarantee you, nobody got laid after that movie.
Well, I disagree. But I turned to my wife and I said, full volume as we're waiting in line, this big, huge line, I said, this girl better be naked in this movie or I'm walking out.
Nice.
And like, and all sure the enough. Women in line just looked horrified, and all the guys laughed and yes. made sure their women didn't see him laughing.
Yes.
But let's move on. I can't talk about, you know,
moving
Jesse
on
James
to
anymore.
Our next film, probably one of the bigger, higher profile releases of the week is yes. Saw 4. Yes, Jigsaw is back.
Yes.
Ish. And yes, we've got some more torture.
And play for the clip.
You, so let's play the clip.
You think it's over? You think you're safe? You are wrong. I promise that my work will continue. The games have just begun.
Again, like the clip of Jesse James, this film, this clip really shows what the movie's like. It's got a lot of violence, and there's people screaming and people dying. But you know what I have to say? It's better than most of the other horror movies that have come out. And it's
that's because all the other horror movies that come out have sucked.
Well, they've really
royally.
Sucked. But the thing is, this
with the
one,
exception of 30 Days of Night,
it's not bad. It's not a bad movie. And for a fourth movie in a series, I give it a lot of credit.
Because I mean, there's so many great fourth movies.
Well,
out
it's
there.
Raised above most of them. Yeah.
Wow. I think we should do some kind of list later in the show, maybe in the internet only segment where we talk about bad franchises.
Well, but see, this isn't a bad franchise, and it's sort of like Halloween is, you know, people are going to see this movie. I saw it at a midnight show. It was absolutely packed. I have to say I wasn't bored with it. It didn't run too long. It had some, you know, crummy camera movement and stuff like that sort of like looked like a music video. At times that made no sense. It wasn't like just the murder scenes. It was like somebody talking to somebody in a room, and they do this crazy push-in.
Well, here's all I have to say about Saw. I didn't go see it with you for a reason.
Because you're a pansy.
It's not that I think they're bad movies. I just don't think they're necessary anymore. I don't think we need to see any more Saw movies.
But Saw's how many Saw movies have you seen?
Just the first one.
Okay, well then you haven't seen enough to really kind of make that decision. I mean, it's not just gratuitous violence. It actually has somewhat of an interesting purpose behind it.
Whatever.
That's what I have to say. So I say it kind of rocked.
Okay, let's go to a break and we'll come back. And welcome back to the show. We are talking movies here in the
as we do
the first
every
half
week,
of the show.
Which is odd. Like, we were talking sports last week and somehow we're talking movies now.
Who knows how these things happen? But the next movie we're going to talk about is one that I was very excited about, disappointed that I missed, the Darjeeling Limited. It is Wes Anderson. Bringing back Owen Wilson from near death. This is actually prior to the suicide, but it's the first time we've seen Owen Wilson
okay.
on screen.
That didn't make a whole lot of sense, but just play the clip and we'll move on.
We'll play the clip.
I want us to become brothers again like we used to be.
You're the two most important people in the world to me.
This is incredible.
Why haven't we spoken in a year?
Because we don't trust each other.
Is that my belt? Can I borrow it?
What's going on?
I don't know. I guess the train's lost.
What'd he say?
He says the train's lost.
How can a train be lost? It's on rails.
The Darjeeling Limited. Wes Anderson. Now, are you a Wes Anderson fan?
I am to a certain extent. I'm not a big Wes Anderson, like...
Junkie,
but I think his movies are intelligent, and they're a lot of fun, and they're different, and I can appreciate that.
Okay. But you wouldn't. They're not like when they come out. They're not like the best of the year for you or anything like that.
I don't think so. Okay. I'm excited to see this one. I can't wait till I get my Oscar screener.
Yeah, that's well. And I'll very different from Jesse James, where I said there's no movie I'd want to see a second time less. This is the movie that I have to say I want to see again really badly, and I can't wait for the award screener. I can't wait for the DVD when it gets released because I'll probably get that as well. The Darjeeling Limited was one of those movies that, first of all, I came in, it was 90 minutes. It's not too long. It's not this big plotting.
Oh, my God. Critics drool over 90-minute movies.
Oh, we were so excited. We were, like, all bouncing in our seats because we're like, woo, we don't have to go put money in the parking meter. And this film, I liked it when I saw it, and I was, and sometimes I'll see a movie and I'll like it, and then I'll think about it and I'll dislike it more. And by the time I'm writing the review, I said, I got to get this review written or I'm going to start giving negatives, you know, to the movies. This was the total opposite. I saw it. I thought, oh, it was okay. It's pretty decent. The more I think about it, the more I reflect on the movie and think about what it has to say and just the spirit and essence of the movie, I have grown to absolutely love this movie. It's one of my tops of the year, I have to say now.
That's impressive.
And that's the way I felt.
I wouldn't put you in a class that would be able to comprehend Wes Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you for your I'm glad to disappoint you. But no, I thought that The Royal Tenenbaums was one of his best movies. And The Life Aquatic, I had the same feeling. I thought, it was okay. And then I watched it again on DVD, and I've watched it since. And it's really grown on me. And there's just something about Wes Anderson's film that really touched me. And that's what I like about his movies. And The Darjeeling Limited does that. It really just kind of touches me at this very warm place. And it's a feel-good movie, but it still has this weird dysfunctional stuff going on. But it's just so beautifully presented. And it's not for everybody. But for limited releases, to me, this is like the Little Miss Sunshine of this year.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm a little bit more excited to see it. Give it a grade.
Totally rocks.
Totally rocks. Okay.
Rocks all over the house.
Cool. Man. Well, speaking of movies that are a little bit touching, one that I was enjoyed.
I heard you cried and wet yourself.
There was some moisture around me. Don't know what it was for. But we're talking about Dan in Real Life, Steve Carell, Dane Cook, Juliette Binoche, and Emily Blunt. Steve Carell plays a writer who falls in love with his brother's girlfriend, and he's also a single dad. So let's play a clip.
It's a Touchstone movie. It's a Disney movie, so the mother's dead.
I met somebody, and she's really something.
Dan, this is my girlfriend, Annie.
And Annie, this is my brother, Dan.
What's wrong?
Nobody. I mean, nothing. Let my love open
the door. I went a little nutty, got a little stupid.
Honey, you've made some mistakes.
So many.
You again. How are you today? This is going to cost you.
Put it on my tab.
What was that?
Put it on my tab.
And Kevin, I'm going to start because...
No, I'm going to start. Put it on my tab.
I want to say this. There's nothing you can say that's going to make me dislike this movie.
I heard that Dan hates you.
And that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Here's what I thought.
There was a whole scene in the beginning.
Here's what I thought of Dan in Real Life. I thought it was...
You're at a loss for words.
It was honest. There are some plot holes. I'll give you that. There's some things you just kind of have to take with a grain of salt. And, of course, Dane Cook is in it. But one of the things we've been talking about lately with Dane Cook and Steve Carell, we look at movies like Evan Almighty, Good Luck Chuck, is they were so wrong for those movies. Evan Almighty should have never been made. It was just not right.
Well, Evan Almighty,
to spin that character off.
They put the character in a direction that was different than his original character from Bruce Almighty.
Right.
And they turned him into something that maybe
right.
Jim Carrey.
And with Dane Cook in Employee of the Month and Good Luck Chuck, he's just not a good romantic lead. But I thought in this movie they were right for their roles, and it was very smart film. It was very funny. Steve Carell is incredibly funny, but the family around him is very awkward and very very quirky, and I really enjoyed that. Ultimately, I will say I enjoyed Dane Cook not getting in his own way. Because
I'm going to now jump in on this one because overall I thought this movie was okay. I didn't dislike it, and my ultimate review is it kind of rocks for the right crowd. It's not for everybody. It's a family drama and that sort of thing, and it's for a more grown up audience. You know, like maybe late 30s, early 40s, that sort of crowd. And I think it works for that level. I thought Dane Cook was bad in the movie, not just because I hate his utter existence, but I
think that's the only reason.
No, seriously, it was this movie that put the nail in the coffin for me on Dane Cook, because he was so awkward in it. It was like him trying to be cute, and it's like when you're talking to somebody at a party and it's like a girl that doesn't like you and she's like, oh yeah,
that's he
and does this fake-o laugh, and you're like, no, he was so fake in the movie. And there's a point where he does kind of come into the Dane Cook role, which works. But he was still basically playing a romantic lead, but it was secondary. And I thought he was poor in the film.
Strongly disagree. I think this is the right. I think that this secondary character is perfect for him.
Yeah, I disagree. But I'll tell you, the only other thing I will say is the family was nice, but they were like overly annoying. You take any family and put them in a cabin for a weekend, it will turn into Saw 4. And this one was
not my family. I don't know what you guys do on your holidays.
Dude, it just
my family turns into what I saw in this movie.
Oh, it was horrifying. They have this talent show. They were the most annoyingly friendly family. It was like a softened version of the Family Stone, and it was without enough dysfunction.
I thought it was way better than the Family Stone.
Decent film. Oh, Family Stone. Don't even start. We gotta go to a break.
Totally rocks. We're going to break.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly. Like a cigarette, but you kiss me.
And welcome back. And I want to just put the nail in the coffin here on Dan in Real Life. If you enjoy Steve Carell's comedy, leave Dane Cook out of the equation. Steve Carell, if you enjoy...
You came to this expecting a fight, and I'm fighting over Dane Cook, and I'm said the family's a little annoying. It's a decent movie, and I thought it was okay.
I think you're defensive.
You're like my sister.
You called Darjeeling Limited this year's Little Miss Sunshine. I thought this was more akin to Little Miss Sunshine than any other movie.
You're like just doing it because you want to disagree.
No,
with
I thought point. It was great. I really, really enjoyed it. That's 2 weeks in a row I've had a really good movie to enjoy, and one of them was a horror flick last week, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to respond because you seem to think that I hate this movie. I don't.
You just hate Dane Cook, and I don't think it's
no,
necessary.
No, I think Dane Cook was bad in the movie. It's not that I don't like Dane Cook.
Finally, he picked the right role.
No, it was a
still
bad role.
You're
the first person who's like, he was perfect in that movie. Everyone else I've talked to about it has been like, yeah, he wasn't that good in that movie.
I'm not saying he's a great actor or anything. I'm just saying
he was not right for that role.
If he continues to find roles like this, he's got a place in Hollywood.
You are so completely clueless on this.
If he continues, listen to me.
You went in there going to, because you wanted to like it.
No, no, no.
Because you wanted to get in a fight tonight.
If he continues to do movies...
Like an ex-girlfriend.
No. Listen, if he continues to do movies like Good Luck Chuck and Employee of the Month, he's going to be the third Corey, okay? And he's going to be hanging out with Corey Haim, Corey Feldman.
What in God's name are you talking... What reality shows are you watching that's giving you these sort of responses?
But if he finds roles like this, he'll be okay. He won't be good. He'll be okay.
No, I don't... I disagree. This was not a perfect role for him. I do think that certain roles would be good. I think what he turns into in the movie finally works for him. But what he is beforehand was just, he was irritating. And it was, they had this, it wasn't a good fit. I didn't think he could have had many other people in that role and it would have worked.
I say we let the listeners decide. Go see Dan in Real Life this weekend and then email us fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com and let us know what you thought. So you had another topic you wanted to talk about here.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong business.
I know.
Why do you think I'm in the wrong business? Because I don't like Dane Cook?
Crappy taste in movies.
Yeah, whatever. We'll let you know that when Darjeeling Limited, when you actually see that, you'll be like, Kevin, you're right. That was pretty
good. I'm not saying I won't like it.
Well, then, if I have crappy taste in movies, I will then.
Okay. But anyway, so what's your new job going to be?
You know, there are jobs that you can search on the internet, and I found one. I am going to be a pet psychic. Because...
I'm sorry.
Seriously, you've got your computer there. Go to Google. Type in pet psychic. You will fall off your chair when you see how many of these charlatans are running around out there making money. And you know how they do this? They go in and they say, okay, I need to meditate. And they do it over the phone, which is completely bogus anyways. And then they say, well, and now I'm going to, your dog, Fluffy, he loves going on walks.
They're called pet communicators.
Yeah, this is the biggest scam I've ever seen because they tell you that what dog doesn't like going on walks, and what dog doesn't like getting its belly rubbed or something like that. This is the biggest, and it's the biggest scam. Do you know how much this stuff costs?
She's been on the Wayne Brady Show.
Oh, well, that means she's quality. How much is it? Go check on the rates. You will fall off your chair when you find out how much these people are paid.
Hold on. I'm looking.
Just look it up.
Services
and fees or something like that. They'll like for a reading.
They don't give you the fees.
No, some of them. Okay, I've seen them. The least expensive one I found was like, I think 30 minutes for a half hour consultation on the phone and $50 for an hour. They go as high as $85 for a half hour. Prostitutes in Las Vegas get paid less than these pet psychics do. And the pet psychics don't actually have to come in your house.
Provide a much more valuable service to humanity.
Yes, at least they're honest with what they end up with, as long as they look like the picture on the internet. But I'm going to become a pet psychic because I can do it. Now, here, pretend me. You don't have
thank,
any.
Thank God you didn't just now decide to cross over and become a prostitute in Las Vegas, because that would have just... I literally would have fallen out of my chair.
If there was a market for fat, middle-aged, bald strippers, I would be there. But do you have a dog or a cat? Like, I know you don't have one.
I have a cat. She doesn't live with me, though.
You have a
We're separated.
Get divorced from your cat?
No, I can't have cats here, so it's my mom's.
She's at your mom's. Okay. Yeah. Now here, I'm gonna psychically read your cat. Okay, so tell me what's the cat's name?
Roxanne.
I have a feeling Roxanne loves you, but doesn't always show her love.
No, she doesn't. She hates me.
And Roxanne, she likes to hide under things sometimes.
Nope.
No.
No, you're wrong. You're a terrible pet psychic.
I could do it though. So what is
that seriously the reading? We need to research this more.
What they actually say. This is what they do, because I've known people who've gotten them done. They say, "All right, tell me about Roxanne. How old is she?"
That's just like any psychic.
Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah.
If you got to pick up a phone and talk to a psychic,
you had a father, right?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like
your father who wants to talk to you.
I'm seeing a male figure, somebody above you, like a father and uncle, and
he's dead.
Wearing glasses, and his name was a Jim or a Rob.
Was it Rob?
Rob. There is a Rob. There is a Rob. You know, I was hearing that. That's how they work. That's how psychic, and the pet psychics, see, it's one thing to sit there and if somebody gives you a psychic reading and they say, oh, your husband left you because, your breasts are too small, you can then go to your husband and say, well, did you leave me because my breasts are small? And you're like, the husband's like, yeah. And they go, oh my gosh, this psychic's brilliant. But you can't ask a dog, did you like your belly rubbed?
I just came up with an idea. I was trying to figure out as you were talking how to tie this into movies to make it at least relevant. What we need is the Farrelly brothers to do a movie about a pet psychic with Ben Stiller and a prosthetic hermaphrodite organ.
Okay, you just took the wind completely out of my sails.
No, that's
I don't know how to respond to that.
There's not that I wanted to figure out.
And
a way
we need
to
have
this.
A moment where Ben Stiller goes did, 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 somewhere in the movie,
and Carlos Mencia goes, "That's loco."
Oh, Carlos Mencia! God. Do you realize that
he's not even a real Mexican?
We'll talk about Dane Cook later and my movement against Dane Cook, but Carlos Mencia
he's a close second.
Yeah, there's people like going, Dane Cook, we need a ribbon for Carlos Mencia too.
Why not? We've pissed off everybody else.
All right, that's my rant about pet psychics. So
I don't even want to talk about the box office.
Send us $85 and we'll do a phone reading for you. We'll consult. Just like in Grey's Anatomy.
This is normally where we talk about the box office.
Yes.
Let's just go to break.
No, box office. Saw 4 is going to win.
Yeah, sure.
And Dan in real life is going to kind of do a puny like $10 million.
What I will say, though, is the news of the week is that B-Movie is tracking higher than Ratatouille did. At this point, before its release, also American Gangster is tracking higher than both.
It's the exact same audience, I think.
Tracking higher than The Departed, and it's tracking higher than Casino Royale did in the same month.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
We'll see. They're predicting both of those movies to make $40 million.
They predicted. They predicted Michael Clayton to beat Why Did I Get Married and Why Did I Get Married One. They predicted Why Did I Get Married.
Well, that was
because
they
do nothing.
They're racist.
That's right. They're racists.
Yeah.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But let's take a break. When we come back in the second half of the show, we're going to do a little bit of a list, the 10 movie franchises that have jumped the shark. And we're also going to do we're going to do our little sound off segment. And then, maybe we'll let you go without killing you.
No, we won't. We're going to put you in some trap that you have to cut your eyeballs out. Just like
that's Jim actually said. Every week. But... we'll be back.
Well, Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. And today, like we do every week, we're going to give you a brilliant and decisive top 10 list.
Semi-decisive.
Well, sort of decisive. Not that you had any input on this thing at all.
I agree with everyone except for number one. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay, I can't wait for the defense on this one. All right, we are going to be talking about the top 10 movie franchises that have jumped the shark or had jumped the shark. They may not be they may be in the past.
Right.
But there's some rules, first of all, because I thought about this and I'm like, well, there's a lot. You can make arguments around everything. The first rule is there had to be at least three films in the franchise. We can't just say bad sequels. You know, you can't say Dirty Dancing or Basic Instinct. So it's got to be an honest to God series.
Right.
Second rule is there have to been at least two of the films in theatrical release at some time.
So like Pumpkinhead 12.
Yeah, Pumpkinhead 4 doesn't count because they did one Pumpkinhead that barely made it in the theaters. You know, and I think Leprechaun there was only one, and all the rest went to video.
Okay.
And then the series must have started off at least decent or relatively good. It can't, you can't say that a movie that started off that either was a not very much of a hit or was kind of crappy can't you'd have
they have to have gone downhill
exactly and they had to have been pretty decent. Number 10 let me start with number 10.
This is the one that inspired the list.
It is not the one that inspired us. I actually took it off the list after. You haven't seen the movies. You can't. We were going to put Saw on the list because I'm like, well, Saw 4 can't be that good. It was okay. It was decent. It's worth checking out if you're a horror fan.
You would
It
say
hasn't
that.
Gone downhill. You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't. You've seen one.
I do know what I'm talking about.
No, you
I
don't. You've seen
see
one.
That's the point. I
what's
don't
wrong
need to
with
see
the
it.
Other three? Tell
and
me.
Neither do our listeners. Don't go see Saw 4.
What's wrong with the other three?
What?
Well, how have they?
They're stupid.
That's you're an idiot.
It's torture porn. I don't like it.
The number
I'm morally
10,
against it.
I'm moving
it's
out
like
of
terrorism.
I am moving out of the honorable mention category. Jurassic Park. Although I liked Jurassic Park 3, it was fun. It was a huge step down. I thought the first movie was really fun. The second movie was kind of stupid, and the third movie, well, they were just trying to make money.
They jumped the dinosaur.
They jumped the dinosaur shark.
And the fourth one could be the best one because they talked about having dinosaurs with lasers.
Freaking laser beams on their head. That'd be awesome.
I mean, if they did that, then that's way off
it's
the
gone.
List at that point.
And they're going to and one of the dinosaurs, I think, is going to water ski over a shark in a Fonzie jacket.
Yeah. Number 9 is Planet of the Apes.
Not the remake that never went anywhere.
Yeah, because they did. They made the ones where he like met the weird people that lived underground.
Yeah, it started out with Planet of the Apes, and then it was like Return to Planet of the Apes and Escape from Planet of the Apes. By the time they got to like the fourth or fifth movie, they were just like wearing Halloween masks. It wasn't even like that Academy Award winning makeup, and they had just gone way downhill. Charlton Heston distanced himself the way he distanced himself from Michael Moore.
Right.
They have completely fallen. They had completely fallen apart. So it shows that bad sequels went as far back as at least the 60s.
Okay.
Number 8, Blade. I liked Blade. Blade was a good movie. Then there was Blade 2, not so good. And then there was Blade 3, which had Jessica Biel in it.
But let me tell you what balances out the Jessica Biel factor is Ryan Reynolds and that Triple H guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Bad movie.
Terrible.
And that just proves that David Goyer, who wrote and directed it, is a very good writer, not a good director. So, number 7.
Number 7 is Revenge of the Nerds, which the first one was a classic.
Hilarious, awesome film.
But the less and less we got to see of Booger, the worse it got.
Well, and the other thing was they eventually went to TV movies.
So
they had.
That's when you know that it's time to stop.
Well, you know what's one of the big indicators that I saw on that one is the first movie was rated R, the second movie was rated PG-13, and then they moved to TV movies where you're like, well, goodness gracious.
The worst you could do is PG.
There's no Betty Child running around naked in this one.
Right.
So there number 6, The Crow, barely squeaked onto the list because you had The Crow. The first one, and then you had The Crow City of Angels, which was also a theatrical release. And you had the third one, The Crow Salvation, with Eric Mabius from Ugly Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was in the theaters because I actually remember seeing it advertised at a theater. And then the fourth one was The Crow 4 with Edward Furlong. Yes, the annoying kid from Terminator 2 playing an even more annoying dead guy coming back to life. And Tara Reid. Talk about going downhill.
Wow, is that before she became a hooker, or after?
I mean, just in general?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was she ever really a hooker, or was she just
totally.
A slut?
Totally a hooker.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How much did she charge?
I don't remember. Oh, okay. She just swiped the card and left.
Didn't even give you what you wanted. You didn't get a happy ending on that one.
Number five, Spy Kids.
Yes. First movie was cute. It was fun.
I tell you what, though. If they came out with another one that had Rose McGowan in it, because now she's dating the Robert Rodriguez guy.
Yeah.
I'd see it.
Well, but I mean, Spy Kids 3 had Salma Hayek in it, but that didn't save the movie.
Well, you know.
Yeah. So, number four, Superman. And I'm going to throw Superman Returns in there, too, because it was sort of a sequel, but it wasn't as far downhill as the ones from the 70s went into the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first Richard Donner. Yeah, and then the second movie was sort of not really, didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then the third one, they said, yeah, we need a supervillain. Richard Pryor's the one we're going to get. And then the fourth movie, they gave Christopher Reeve control over the script, which, nice guy, and I'm sorry he's dead. But the guy couldn't write.
You know, just sitting here going, wow, I wonder how he's going to offend someone. And then I heard you say Christopher Reeve, and I was like,
what? You can't, this guy, oh, come on. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Christopher Reeve was not a saint. He was a guy who broke his neck and then did all this work because he wanted to walk again. I mean, the guy didn't walk on water. He couldn't walk at all, actually.
I don't really... I'm done. I don't need to say anything to that. I'm pretty sure we're going to get hate mail now. That's awesome. I'm glad it's all directed at you.
Number three.
Number three is, I'm a big advocate of this one being on the list, Batman, because Tim Burton did a wonderful job with the first one. They were a little...
It got a little weird.
A little over the top.
I wasn't terribly thrilled.
I thought Michelle Pfeiffer was perfect in in some black leather.
Black vinyl.
Black vinyl, whatever. Christopher Walken was also a great choice for Batman Returns.
I would make a couch out of Michelle Pfeiffer from that movie if I could.
Okay. but once Arnold stepped into the picture in Batman and Robin,
got bad.
Oh, God. Terrible.
It got bad.
This is a universally agreed upon topic.
Yeah, reviled.
That three and four, the Joel Schumacher versions of Batman were by far the worst.
It makes you wonder. Somebody says, you know what? We need to step up the quality of this. Let's get the guy who directed DC Cab.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So, number two, the Universal Monster movies. This goes back almost as early as cinema itself. The original Frankenstein, the original Dracula, brilliant movies. Dracula's Daughter, Son of Dracula, Son of Frankenstein, Ghost of Frankenstein, House of Frankenstein, House of Dracula, Mummy, Mummy's Ghost, Mummy's Tomb,
all, I have to
all
say
that
is,
stuff.
It got silly. I am Keanu Dracula.
What? That's not even that serious.
Keanu Reeves played Dracula.
No, he did not. He played Jonathan Harker.
No, he played Dracula, didn't he?
When did he play Dracula?
It was a movie where he played Dracula.
Gary Oldman played Dracula.
I don't know. But what about Robert De Niro as Frankenstein?
Yeah, it wasn't that good. And it was, I mean, he was okay, but it was Kenneth Branagh who's more interested in taking his shirt off and dancing around. And what he completely ruined the story. He was like, I'm going to make a movie that's like totally true to the book, and then he changes it. I'm like, well, you didn't do what you said you're going to do because you had to put your
sex bomb. You're a dirty liar.
In. Yeah, lying, dirty person.
Seriously.
Number one, do you want me to say this? Because you seem to want to defend
it. Here's why
Police Academy.
Here's why I don't agree with Police Academy. Because all of the Police Academy movies were exactly the same.
No, but they...
So if you're going to say that one, number one was so great. This
number
breaks,
one was funny.
This
rated
breaks rule
R,
number three.
Rated R, and like number two was rated PG-13, and then it was PG. Then they just came out with all of them PG, completely ripping them off, and then just went...
Honestly,
I think they did TV movies too.
I felt the same about all the Police Academy movies. I loved
all
of them.
The first Police Academy was a funny movie. I wouldn't say that it was... It started out great.
Yeah.
Started out okay. The first one was an okay movie. And then it just completely went downhill. But see, since it didn't start out at the great level, when it went downhill, it hit the bottom fast and just started scraping it. That's what I have to say. That's right. I said it. Scraping the bottom of the barrel. I used a cliche on this show.
That's never happened before.
Do you want to do the honorable mention?
Yeah, well, Saw slipped onto the honorable mention, right?
No.
We bumped Jurassic Park up.
I'll tell you what. If you go and you watch Saw 2, 3, and 4, next week you can come back and I'll revise the list. But you can't watch one movie and not see the rest of them.
I don't really want to. I'm going to let you do whatever you want with the list.
The
other honorable mention, American slasher films, such as Friday the 13th, Halloween. Are you including the Rob Zombie Halloween in this? Or is this just like Halloween 2, 3, 4? That's outside of
the franchise. I didn't like Rob Zombie's Halloween, but the Halloween movies... I mean, John Carpenter's was great, and then it just...
Right.
You know, by the time they're doing, like, Halloween in the Hood... This is the thing, and it's, again, this is going to get me in trouble again, but when you have a movie that's a regular mainstream movie, and then suddenly they put it in the Hood, it usually means it's going downhill.
It also... That also is Leprechaun. True in reverse if you have, like, Next Friday, where it's, like, Friday in the suburbs. That also doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, what's funny with... what's funny with...
What you're saying is we need to segregate our movies better.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't think that's what I was saying. I think
you've just proved my point about you being a racist.
Right. Well, that's our list.
We'll be back. And welcome back to the show. If you're listening to us...
Your hair's standing.
Oh, that's cool.
It looks really funny.
If you're listening
to
us...
You look like my son after he just woke up from a nap.
You're messing me up here.
I'm sorry.
If you're listening to us on the internet, you just heard an awesome segment. If you're listening to us on the radio, go to the internet, fatguysatthemovies.com. We just had a pretty cool segment that you won't hear.
Did you just say fatty guys at the movies?
No, fat guys.
Fat guys at the movies.
At the movies. Well, you're insulting me. Some other kind of show?
You're insulting me.
Whatever. So this is the segment where we sound off on the topics of the week.
That's right.
So here we go. I'm gonna read them all this time because you feel it necessary to be lazy.
I was defending myself for the last two segments, so now you can. I'm just gonna be lazy.
Whatever.
For the rest of the show.
All right. Number one on my list is this week we received award screeners for Knocked Up. Is this good strategy, or is it just a practical joke?
I don't think it's either, and I'll tell you it's not a practical joke. I don't think they did it as a joke. But I think it's something they're going for sort of they're not going for the Oscar, the Academy, or anything like that. They're going for
our awards that we vote for.
Yeah, they're going for the film critic awards from like internet groups and smaller groups and like
I think it could get that. Awards. It was good.
And it might work.
I didn't really think of it that way until I saw that it came as an award screener and I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
I'm not saying I'm going to necessarily vote for it, but it's one of those things that if it shows up on a list, I might vote for it depending on what else is on there. I just can't wait for like the Hot Rod DVDs to come.
Yes, or Superbad. Yeah. I just want them to send me that one before it comes out on DVD. All right, moving on. Number two, the higher ups at DreamWorks and Universal all got together and had lunch this week. Meaning that probably tuna salad or something kosher.
Okay,
because they're all Jewish.
Whoa, okay. Oh, no, now Neil's anti-Semitic. He's like those
but
lousy people.
What this means is that Universal is getting closer to a deal that would bring DreamWorks from Paramount to back to Universal. Is this a match made in heaven or a bad union?
I think I speak for most of America when I say this. I don't care.
Right.
I don't think it's because DreamWorks is still going to make movies.
You know who does care? Paramount. Because DreamWorks made them a lot of money this year.
Well, it's just it would be a good strategy for Paramount to dump it because usually you have an up-down year. Because it makes a lot of money, because Paramount makes a lot of money because
yeah,
of DreamWorks.
Yeah, but we're talking
movies.
Transformers. Well, yeah, Transformers. If they make another Transformers Shrek. Next year, it's just going to make more money.
I don't know about that. But
we're talking Transformers, Shrek. They had Dreamgirls. They had...
Yeah, but that's my point, is that you're going to have that regression effect.
Yeah,
so it wouldn't be a bad...
so good. They are the hot...
You shut up about the stupid Transformers thing. You're like, oh, Transformers.
They're going to make another one.
And they're going to have Dane Cook start it.
Well, speaking of Transformers,
Transformers came
out last week on DVD and became the number one DVD of the year in only 1 week of sales. Are you prepared to issue an apology to Michael Bay?
For what?
Because you said that he wasn't a good director.
He's
and obviously
not.
He is.
I gave Transformers a good review. I gave it a good review. See, this is you. Like, you're like, I want to fight. I'm going to be like an ex-girlfriend, and I'm going to like make fun of you. You're so lame. No, I'm going to apologize that he made a good director.
You need to admit that he made a good movie.
I said it's a decent movie. I gave it a good review.
And that all of his movies are entertaining.
I wouldn't say
even
that.
Pearl
the
Harbor.
Island stunk.
One of these days I'm going to
The Island stunk. How many, was The Island the number one DVD of 2005?
I have
no
idea.
It was like
I'll
the number 512 DVD. Like right after.
It was the number one Scarlett Johansson release of the year.
Yeah, it was the only one. It was placed in the list, I think, right above the Bear in the Big Blue House potty training video. That's
which
how
you own.
Which I own because I got two kids. So there. Yeah. The fact that you own it, that's kind of weird.
And also not true. All right, number four, rumors are running rampant that Saw 5 and Saw 6 will be made very soon. And not only will they be made very soon, they will be shot back to back, straight through. Do we really need more of this crap?
I like the Saw movies. So I'm okay with it. And you know, it's kind of become a Halloween tradition. And I'll tell you what they're doing. This is why they're going to shoot them back to back. They don't know how well Saw 5 is going to do. I think they got good tracking on Saw 4, but they don't know how well Saw 5 is going to do, so they're going to just run the productions together so that when Saw 5 comes out, and if it doesn't do as well, they've already got Saw 6 in the can, so you know it's not going to be that much money to budget it to
release. Here's what I don't like about this is that you can tell why they're doing it. It's just for money.
Oh, yeah, because
there's no...
Oh, and you're saying that they made Transformers for artistic integrity?
They made
Transformers to make money.
They made
Transformers because a toy, they made it originally to sell
toys. What I think is that they should spend their time and their
money. You are such a moron, Neil Miller.
Good horror flicks. Make good movies, and I'll respect it. But they're making crap.
They always make crap. They make crap every year. There's tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of crap out there.
That's the problem I have.
And guess what? Hollywood's a business. They're there to make money.
Whatever.
They did not make Transformers because they said there's this chubby guy in Ohio who loved Transformers and You Got the Touch and the Weird Al Yankovic song in the soundtrack. So let's make a movie just so he can relive his childhood.
Whatever.
You're weird.
So the last topic I had, I just wrote Stop Dane Cook because
that's right,
it
we need
has
to
be talked about very quickly.
I have launched a special ribbon campaign, a brown ribbon campaign, which is not just an awareness campaign, but it's a review of his movies, brown ribbon, to stop Dane Cook. He is a menace to society. If you go to filmschoolrejects.com and you can look there under the old recent headlines, you can go to dig.com and see it as well. We have a whole page on why we need to stop Dane Cook and how dangerous he is to society and the hearts and minds of America. And you can write to us and we will send you a brown ribbon to stop Dane Cook.
For free.
And we are getting wild, crazy responses. We're getting tons of...
It's actually costing a lot of money.
Yeah, we got hundreds of people wanting ribbons and it's kind of crazy. And some of the things people are writing, there's stuff like... You know, keep up the good fight and I'll do whatever. Can you send me like 10 so I can pass them around to my friends? I had a lawyer send me. He's like, yes, believe it or not, I want one too.
Yes.
This is awesome. We're getting them from all over the country. We're getting them from Canada. We got a request from Great Britain for a ribbon. I don't know if you're going to spring for the postage for that.
We'll see. We'll try and get it out to you in Great Britain.
But go to the website, go to filmschoolrejects.com, look up the Dane Cook page, click on the advertisement so we can pay for these the stamps. It's gone crazy. It went wild on Dig. It's the third top ranked story.
What
out
I love
of Film
doing
School
is if
Dig.
You get time, just read all the comments because there are people that pick out stuff that wasn't even in the article.
Yes.
Like,
well,
religion.
Somebody accused me of taking it from a religious, and I don't. Bring in religion, but then I looked at Dane Cook. If you add up the letters for Dane, it comes in 24, which is one more six than the Antichrist.
Wow. But I would just like to say before we have to go to break, I don't wear my ribbon. I'm not in favor.
Because you're a loser.
Whatever. And welcome back to Fat Guys the Movies. I'm Neil Miller with my host, Kevin, the segregation machine Carr.
You're the one who was complaining about the Jews in Hollywood. What are you complaining to me about?
Oh, jeez. We're wrapping you up here. Another great show, episode 36. So let's talk about the movies. I've officially lost it.
You have.
What can I really
you
say?
You are in such... You were in such a high plane over me with all the everyone complaining about my reviews of Tyler Perry, and then you had to go make that thing about, well, they're going to have kosher food there whenever they eat dinner in Hollywood.
Yeah, I take it back. I love Steven Spielberg and all of his friends.
And all of his Jewish
friends, yeah. Anywho,
Neil,
let's do our review wrap up first on
Neil's
our list.
Neil's
going to
shave his beard and get a little Hitler mustache.
Stop. Okay. The assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford,
sucked. I can't say it fast enough.
Yep. Saw 4.
Kind of rocked.
Okay. The Darjeeling Limited.
very much rocked.
Okay, and Dan in real life?
Kind of rocked. I just liked it.
I say totally rocked. Totally. I even enjoyed Dane Cook.
Whatever.
Despite you, Kevin Carr.
You can spite me all you want. It's not even going to make $10 million this weekend.
Next week on the show, we've got a couple of very cool movies. We've got American Gangster, starring Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Martian Child, starring John Cusack and a Martian child. And Bee Movie, starring...
Bees.
Jerry Seinfeld.
It's creating a lot of buzz.
Jerry Seinfeld. I'm sure if you've watched any shows on NBC, you've seen tons and tons
it's gonna
and
be,
tons of
it's
going to
be the bee flying around going... What is with the honey? Why is it all sticky?
Who are
I don't
these people?
Get, who
I did,
are these
I will
bees?
Say we saw the full. We have a minute here, so we saw the full trailer for Bee Movie. It was in front of Dan in real life.
Oh, really?
The screening. And the one thing I love is he's going through and he's in the store. The bee is flying around the store. He's like, "What's with all this honey?" And he's like, "Ray Liotta honey." And it says it's Ray Liotta Premium Select honey, and it has Ray Liotta's face. Great joke. I love it.
What?
Go watch the trailer for B-Movie.
Wouldn't it have been Charles Grodin? Wasn't Charles Grodin had like a barbecue sauce from
the
old
funny
TV
part
show?
Is just Ray Liotta. It's so random.
You know what would be great? If they would have had like Jerry Seinfeld and they'd done like three Bs. I haven't seen the movie, so I'm giving some suggestions. So maybe for the sequel. You have Jerry Seinfeld and Christopher Walken. And
as
like,
another B?
And like John Heder as like the three Bamigos or something.
Gosh,
like that.
I need my honey.
He's like, geez, man.
All right.
Look at all this honey with like Ray Liotta. God.
Well, Universal and DreamWorks, if you'd like to contact us about this
at the Anti-Defamation
exciting idea,
League,
you can head to fatguysthemovies.com and you can get us on the web. You can also get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies. You can call us 614-388-8735. You can email us fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Do you have anything else you'd like to say to the people?
Bye.
Adios.